If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Philippians 4:19. We're continuing on with our ABCs of tithing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And it says in verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." My God shall supply all, say all, your need. Oh, you got anything better than that. Your need according to his riches. So when we give our tithes, what we're saying is, God, it's not my ability, it's your ability. It's not my riches, it's your riches. Amen? And what does that mean? My God will supply all your needs. All your needs. That means there's not one need that's out there that God can't provide for. Amen? I was thinking about this, of the different times in the Bible where there have been people who have had a need, stories in the Bible. And when God provided, he didn't just provide for that day. Amen? He provided, and he kept providing, and he kept providing, and he kept providing. I was thinking of the widow whose husband had been a prophet, and they were in debt. And she came to the man of God, and she said, "Help." And he said, "What do you have in your house?" And she said, "I have a little jar of oil." And he said, "Go out and collect all the jars you can and bring them in, and you keep filling and filling and filling." Remember that story? He didn't just provide for him right then. He provided for the future. Amen? Because what happened? That little jar of oil filled every jar that they could get. She was able to sell that, and she was able to bring in the finances to pay off her debt and to live on. Somebody say amen. And then you fast forward and you think about the woman who came to get her last meal. Remember that? And Elijah comes up to her and says, "Will you go home and build me or make me a little cake and bring me a little water?" And she said, "Sir, I'm out here collecting wood to make my last meal for my child and I." And what did he say? "But if you will first give your tithe, I'll make sure that the rest of it is provided for." That's paraphrased from Shelley. But what did she do? She went home and she honored the Lord with the first that she had. You may say it's her last. No, it was her first. Because what happened after that? The jar of oil and the wheat never ran out. She was able to feed her whole family, it said. It went from her son to her family. That tells me it went beyond her and her son. And it kept going and going and going. You see, when you bring your tithe, you're not just tithing for the day. You are tithing. You're saying, "God, you are in charge of my finances, and I trust you to take care of all my needs." Amen? This was a verse that Paul was addressing to the Philippians church about them. But you can take that verse and say, "all my needs." Because God is still the same God as he was of the Philippians, as he is of the Oregonians and the Washingtonians. Amen? So your God will supply all your need if you will first be faithful with your tithes. And people miss this. They miss this. Because you have to be faithful to whatever it is God is calling you to do. He's looking for faithfulness. Why faithfulness? Why does that open the door? Because if you'll be faithful when he asks for your 10%, then he knows you'll be faithful with the 90 as it grows. Amen? And as it grows and gets bigger, then you'll be faithful with that tithe and so on. And we've talked about that before. God can be able to trust you. Amen? So when you have a need that comes into your life, you know what you do with it? You don't freak out. You don't panic. You don't get all hysterical. You don't walk the floors worrying. You come to your Heavenly Father and you say, "Father, we got a need. And I thank you in advance that your word already says you provide for all my needs. I choose not to worry about this. I choose not to be concerned about this because you will provide." You say, "Well, that's kind of arrogant." No, that's the word. That's the word. You are standing on the word. And you know what God does? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he provided for those people in the past that needed something, and he didn't just provide for that day, he provided enough for it to go into the future. Guess what? You should be standing up and saying, you know what, God, if you did that for her in the Bible days, you're going to do it for me today so I can be blessed to be a blessing, that I can take care of others' needs. Amen? So why tithe? Because your needs are provided. When you do that, you're giving God your first, and he blesses everything else behind it. And he doesn't just bless the 90. He goes forward, and he blesses everything else that's coming up. Amen? God is a good God. And tithing is not a drudgery. Tithing is a time of rejoicing. When you bring in your tithes, a smile on your face, God, I am so excited to bring you my first. Because I know if I put you first, you will bless everything that I put my hand to do. Amen? Let's say it again. My God will supply all. Say all again. Say it again. Say it again. All my needs. According to our riches? No, according to his. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much for the privilege to be able to come into your house today, the privilege to be able to give, Father, to be able to give back to you, to thank you, Father, for all you've done in this week, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for blessing every seed that is sown, Father. I just ask a special anointing as we give today, Father. I just ask for a special anointing of blessing, Father. That just like you provided for those women that we talked about, and there's so many other stories of ways you provided, not only for their today, but their futures. Father, I just thank you that there's a special anointing upon this seed today, that people are going to receive financial breakthroughs for their futures, Father. I thank you for debts being canceled. I thank you for things that have been owed to be erased. I thank you, Father, for the world system that we are not a part of when we tithe, that it is literally going to change. We're going to have more than enough money for our months. I thank you, Lord, even though the world may be going through the financial struggles, we are not. Our God will supply. So I thank you for that supply, that storehouse that we will be able to have, not just for us, but to bless others around us, Father, and that you will give us wisdom of where to put that, what to do with it. And God, we would be faithful stewards of what you place into our hands. Thank you, Father, for that special anointing today on every gift that is given. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And somebody say, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We'll go ahead and pray and just get right into this word today. So, Father God, we thank you this morning for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're continuing on this message entitled One Way. It's one way, but not one message. Wouldn't it be great if God could just do everything that we need in one message? Well, if there was one message, really there is. It's Jesus. Amen. We're going to be talking about Jesus forever. And today certainly is a part of forever. If we have one thing to share with the world and with the body of Christ, it's him. Amen. I was listening to Pastor Greg Stevens on with Kenneth Copeland this past week on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. By the way, this whole week is I'm not sure exactly when. I think Tuesday evening it begins, but Passover begins this week, and they're having a Passover Seder service at Eagle Mountain on Wednesday around 5 o'clock. So if you want to catch that, learn some things. These are good things. Get some nuggets, right? We know Jesus is the Passover lamb, and the blood of the lamb was sacrificed, and you know, all these biblical feasts are representative of Jesus. Somebody say one thing. Jesus. I thought it was about Moses. Well, Moses was a type of Christ, bringing the family of God out of captivity into freedom. Hallelujah. So these are great things to remember. But Pastor Greg was sharing that he said, you know, I think we do our children a disservice if we call these like fragments of Bible stories. He said, really, it's all one story. They're all parts of a whole. Amen? And I think we all would agree it's about Jesus, about what he has done for humanity. And certainly if you're alive and breathing, you're part of humanity. Amen? There's some people outside these doors that think a dog or an owl, right, is more valuable than a human being. But let me share a real important piece of information for the church to hear. Jesus did not come to die for your dog. Now, we like our pets. We enjoy our pets. They're blessings. But we don't bow down to them. The other day, I was doing some... I didn't tell Lane about this because he was in another vehicle. We work for a pest control company during the week. And yes, I am bivocational. Hallelujah. Amen. Currently, at the time of this recording, I've heard some say... I believe there'll come a time where the ministry will become like a tidal wave and just overtake us. And this will require our full time and more than that attention, right? But we market. We distribute business cards and, you know, we're doing jobs at people's houses. And I was doing some walking. Started while I was complaining to my wife about I don't have time to exercise anymore. She said, well, do you got business cards in your rig? Yeah. Then walk. The voice of wisdom from Shelley. So I said, you know what? I'll do that today. So I had all these houses, these, you know, some of these neighborhoods where the doors are like literally feet apart from doormat to doormat to doormat. Anyway, I got to one of them and it had one of those like Hindu gods on, like it was sitting in Indian style with its hands like this. And so I took the business card and put it in its hands and I took a picture of it. I was like, yeah, that's funny, right? That's funny. I'm walking off and I was like, oops, I'm driving Lane's rig and it has Lane's name on it. So I was thinking, well, I'll swing back by and move it to the doormat. As I was walking past, it had vanished. The card disappeared. Well... I think it was a smart doorbell, and somebody saw me being smart and took the card. Your prayer has been answered. We're here, right? Amen. I have no idea what that has to do with anything, but we'll figure it out. It'll connect somewhere. But we're spreading the news of the gospel, right? That's where it was. Your dog. Some people think a little wood statue means good luck, or as many gods as I can collect and put around the house. And I've been there in business. Sometimes I go places where I wouldn't normally go. And there's some people that have the cross, and then they have the Lord's Supper, and then they have a Buddha, and then they have a Hindu thing, and all these. Just they want to be as blessed as they possibly can be. But all they need to know is there's one way. Somebody say one. God makes this so simple that even a child can understand it. Religion complicates everything. The devil tries to make everything so complicated that you need someone to explain it to you. Now, you do need preachers and teachers and prophets and evangelists, but we should all be saying one thing. The teacher will teach you about it. The evangelist will preach it to you. The prophet will prophesy it to you. The pastor will help you to do it. Amen, right? But we all have the right in this country to own Bibles, the Holy Bible, maybe multiple translations, but we should be reading it and studying it and fellowshipping with the Lord and get in the Word of God and find out what sin is and don't do it. And get in the Bible and find out what righteousness is and do it. Somebody say, get busy doing it. But we all understand this Passover week is a great reminder that we couldn't do it ourselves. We needed help. That's why he's called the Savior. And pride would tell people, oh, and that's what, back to false religions. False religions are very complicated, very controlling, and very much you need to fix yourself. And here's how you do it. Follow these steps, follow these procedures, attend these meetings, distribute flyers, knock on doors, hang these statues. One of the funniest ones, because they all have, they're like counterfeits of the truth. And I've seen one, the same little God that I talked about, and it says, let that stuff go. Whatever's bought, just let it go. Well, how many know Jesus does enable you to get free of the stuff? But if you don't deal with the stuff is still there. I attended a pastor's meeting this week, just across the railroad tracks at there's like a facility over there on the river. And it was Joseph, remember his name. I want to get his name right. He's a Christian attorney. Let's see, I'll find it here. I think it's Backholm. Joseph, that's what it is, Joseph Backholm. And he works in Washington, D.C. He's a Washington native here, lives in North Carolina, but he was there to tell pastors, preach the gospel. Don't back down from politics. He said, let the Spirit lead you. There's nothing the IRS is going to do about it. And then he said, and if they do, I'm here to tell you there's an army of attorneys that will defend you for free. That's what he said. And that he was just getting warmed up. But he shared this story about his wife had been flushing baby wipes down the toilet. And he said in their house in North Carolina, the sewer began to back up in the basement. And he said, when we discovered that, he said, I had two choices. Ignore it and just let nature take its course, or get down in there and begin to extract. How many know Jesus is the only one that extracted sin out of my life? I heard Pastor, what's his name? Ha, ha, ha. Mark Hankins. Thank you. He is a joy minister, right? And he was talking about how Jesus took the S out of Paul's life. He was Saul. And he said he removed the S out of Saul's life. We could say sin or be creative, but we won't say that word in this church, right? But how many know Jesus took the S off of me, out of you? The sin, we'll say, we'll call it. That's the friendliest word, right? But that's only he could do that. Buddha can't do that. Muhammad can't do that. But see, the world would say, well, we're gonna reframe the term sin. We're not gonna call it that. We're gonna find more friendly terms and less offensive terms. And even maybe put it on the sign of the church and just act like it's all welcome here because we don't want to offend anybody. Well, we're not offending people right to hell. Amen? So the foundation text of this message, John 14:6, I am the way, Jesus said. I am the truth and the life. No one, somebody say no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that's a bold statement. You can almost see why some of the religious leaders thought he was cuckoo. Except if they had understanding of prophecy and messianic scriptures and all that, and watch his life, and you could see this is him. And I love Jesus' confidence was, I'm him. I enjoy watching basketball, and right now the playoffs are starting, and all those guys have to go out there like, I'm going to beat you. and many of them don't. At the end, there'll only be one champion, right? And how many know Jesus is the one champion? Amen? And I love that he had that confidence. He saw himself in the Word, and he didn't waver with it. And I believe that us as the church, we can do a better job of finding ourselves in the Word and not wavering about it. If it says I'm healed, then I'm healed. If it says I'm rich, then I'm rich. If it says I'm blessed and I'm saved, anointed, called, chosen, so be it. I sat with a group of ministers at this, and it's cool because the moderator opened it up. And I squeezed it in. I was on a pest control route in Beaverton. But I left like at 6:30 in the morning. It's cool how God orchestrates things sometimes. Where I was like 2 hours ahead of schedule. So I said, you know what? I can squeeze in a 30-minute drive here and a 30-minute drive back to be a part of this event. I want to be there. I want to be a part of it. I want to encourage somebody and encourage them with my presence and hear and learn something. I mean, just because somebody doesn't teach and preach exactly the way you do doesn't mean you can't learn something from them. That's silly. The body of Christ is a great big body. And the guy that was moderating it, he said, let's all take a... There was, I mean, a room probably about this size, but tables and just, you know, probably a couple hundred people there. And he said, how many churches do you think are in this room right now? Somebody start taking a guess. People are like, 50, 25, huh? And he's like, no, there's one. Somebody say, one church. Oh, I love that. And I was sitting with a Baptist couple and, you know, other Baptist church here in Vancouver and a guy that ministers in Camas and all. And it was just cool. We're all local people, but on the same wavelength. Somebody say, one way. Hallelujah. And we were fellowshipping and talking, having a meal together and stuff. And they started wanting to know about us because they can see, oh, this guy's here and he's in a pest control uniform. We got to hear what this is about. Well, Bible told them a little bit about who we are and what we're doing, and we meet right across the tracks and all this kind of stuff. And the guy from Camas started saying, you know, he's like, you know what? I just believe we were all born for this time. Born for this time. And I said, and we started talking about the issues in our region and the drugs and the issue, you know, the perversions and all this kind of stuff. And I said, you know what? I was born in North Portland. Rebecca Kaiser, mom was there. Love you, mom. And I was born in Portland. And so I said, sometimes when I'm driving through Portland doing my job, I think to myself and stare out the window and say, for unto you a child was born. Hallelujah. Now, where does that kind of sounds a little bit, ooh, really? Who do you think you are? I think I'm supposed to be here. I think I was born. I think I carry the answer to all of that. And I think I'm here to be a voice. And to be a presence. Amen. To not be controlled by the culture, but impact the culture with the cross. Amen. Now, see, that kind of confidence comes from the Holy Ghost. And I could tell a couple of them were like, ooh, who is this guy? You know, it's like, well, that's just what came out of my heart at the moment, right? Somebody say, be confident in who you are in Christ. Amen. Love your family. Absolutely. I love Jeremy Pearson's. He said the faith bunch, you know, we're like those people that come to the family reunion and everyone starts going, oh, here they come. Here they come. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, guess what? Jesus is the light. The light. He said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, somebody say, be a follower of Jesus. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So see, you have the light of life. The answer is literally on the inside of you. What do you do in a dark room? Somebody say, turn on the light. Turn on the light. You don't turn the light out so you don't offend the darkness. Because I'll guarantee you this, in a dark room, somebody is looking for a way out. You'd be surprised who's looking for a way out. So if we're not shining, then they're still lost in the darkness. Amen? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Have you ever tried to walk in darkness? Right? You run into stuff. The other day I was jogging a little bit. In Jesus' name, I'll be jogging more. Seems like I jog better when I'm down a few pounds for some reason. I walk, though, you know. But I'm in our park, and it's starting to get dark, and I realize, oh, I better slow down a little bit because I can't see the trail anymore. Right? Somebody say, keep shining for Jesus. Amen? And we talked about this eclipse that we had recently. And we talked about the word eclipse means obscuration of light. And the word obscuration means to make dark, to make dim, indistinct, to conceal by confusing, to be not clear or not plain. And does that describe, that make you think of anything that's happening in the world right now, where the world is trying to make truth, even basic biology, not so clear. Boy, really? Are we just limited to male and female? I mean, how nuts is that? But an eclipse reminds us, it's a reminder to the world that, hey, repent. When we heard about this eclipse, and the one 7 years ago that went through like seven cities named Salem, beginning in Oregon and all the way down toward, I think, Florida. And then the second one just the other week ago or two ago started in Texas and went through like seven cities named Nineveh. And then right where they intersect, my father-in-law reminded me this the other day, right where they intersect, there's a little town in Indiana called Rapture. Not a coincidence, right? Nineveh reminds you, time to repent. Salem reminds you, peace. That's a part of Jerusalem. You want peace? Time to repent because there's a rapture. Make peace with me. Time to repent. Rapture coming. But when you think of the term eclipse, means obscuration of light. That's exactly what the devil is trying to do. Now, we all know that just because it got dark in some parts of, I think Reed told me your daughter was down there and it got really dark in Dallas. But we know the sun was still there. The light was just as bright as it ever has been. There was simply, you know, the moon or however that works, blocking the sunlight. And I was talking to another business connection the other day, and we were kind of joking about it because so many people got really scared. Like this is going to be an end of the world type thing, right? Panic mode. And we were going, I was like, you know what? Because I could tell he was a little bit, I was like, you know, around here, it seems like we can have eclipses all the time. Because in the Northwest, we know good and well, it can get really dark. 3 in the afternoon for no reason except that there's 10 layers of clouds that come up. And over here it's bright, and right where I am it is hailing and dark. Does it mean the light went away? No. This means there's something in between me and the light. Hallelujah. So we need to be good as Christians. Now, we're talking about Passover, you know. Moses wasn't talking to anybody else but God's people. Now, there were Egyptians that were smart and came with him. And what an amazing thing that is. Hallelujah. But God is concerned mostly about getting the world saved, yes, but mostly how about getting his own family in line? Getting his own church on track. Because if we're on track, we're a lot more effective in his hand at reaching the world. Amen? So we need to be really watchful that we are not eclipsing the gospel and the truth of Jesus with our own issues, where people are only getting a little smidge of light from Steve because Steve is walking in unforgiveness or offense, or he's smoking weed, or, you know, just racist, all of these things, or depressed, selfish, all these things that the enemy can try to use to block people from getting light from us. Amen. We need to be careful that we're not dim. He didn't call me to be dim. He called me to shine brightly for him. The church ought not be making the gospel indistinct. The church ought not be making the gospel concealed and confusing, right? The church ought not be making the gospel less clear and less plain. The church ought not have anything to do with darkening the truth of who Jesus is. I don't want to answer for that. Or making it somehow indistinct. You know, it's really not quite, you know, I'm a, you know, professor, doctor, PhD, whatever, master's degree, and I'm in this church, and I'm here to tell you, Jesus is great, yeah, but, you know, he's not the only way. We need to have a broader mind. That's straight up wickedness, man. And someone's going to go to hell because of that. Because they didn't hear the gospel preached plainly. They didn't see the light shining clearly. Amen, right? Synonyms for obscure are words like darkening, concealment. Oh, we're gonna tuck that truth into our pocket because we have bills to pay. Right? We're gonna tuck that truth into our pocket and not be real clear about it because we don't want to offend visitors. We don't want to offend the money. Hallelujah. Right? Concealment. Words like decline. How many of church attendance has been on decline? Because the preaching, maybe it's because the preaching of the truth has been on decline. Right? Dimming. The church ought not be on a dimmer switch. Oh, how much light can we handle? How much light? How much truth can we handle? Right? Extinction, obscuration, another synonym is extinction. Don't you know the devil's plan for Israel, for the church, for the U.S., for Christians is extinction. But really, that's what his future is. In the end, the Bible says the only people that will be alive are God and his family. That's what these natural signs like eclipses remind the world of, and the church needs to repent too. In the fact, the church needs to be the ones to lead the way in repenting. If there's sin in my life, get it out. If there's sin in my life, who has to get it out? I do. Get it out like my life depends on it. Get it out like someone else's life may depend on it. Don't play with it. Don't act like it's okay. Don't call it a weakness. Don't call it an issue. Call it what it is. S-I-N. And you can be just like Paul, where Jesus got the S out of your life and went from Saul to Paul. Hallelujah. It just comes down to how much do I love him. Another synonym are words like obliteration. Don't you know the devil wants to obliterate your vision? He wants to take the truth that you project to the world and obliterate it. Destroy it. Right? Shroud it. Veil it. Make it blurry. Cloud it. Cover it. I'll tell you what, Jesus ain't about that at all. That's what got him crucified. Ultimately, somebody tried to tell me once that Jesus was passive. He's passive. Well, really, do you really think they crucify someone for being passive? He was calling them out. Called Herod a fox. Called the Pharisees, what, snakes and vipers. Hallelujah. The church, we need to be the ones that lead the way to the way. Now, this is something the Lord told me earlier this week. I was thinking about this message. Honestly, this didn't really come clear till early this morning. I was asking. Sometimes messages are with me all week long. Sometimes they come on, I know the outlines. But you want to be clear. You know, Lord, what do you want to share? What do you want to say today? Right? This didn't really become clear until like 6:30 this morning. Right? But this is something he told me, and I actually punched this quote into my phone like on Wednesday or Thursday. Jesus is the only way. If you're looking for another way, then your sin is still in the way. Right? If someone's looking for a way to eternal life, to heaven, you have to deal with the sin problem. And he's the only one that did that. Nobody else. Right? Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a way. He is the only way, but honestly, there's a lot of other ways. They just don't lead to heaven. What do you mean he's the only way? Well, let's talk about your destination. Usually in my phone, when I have my, your map app, I don't type in where I'm at. I know where I'm at. Well, in some cases, sometimes I have no idea where I'm at. And the app isn't working either, right? But usually I want to know. I confess to you, sometimes I want to know, where's the closest donut? Fred Meyer, where's closest Fred Meyer? 6.7 miles, don't have time. Gas station, 2.1 miles. I need gas anyway. Going to Shell. And it gives me the quickest route. Now, I could take other ways. I could pick other Shells. I could pick the Shell. When we were planning our trip to Hawaii, we wanted to know where the Shells were at Hawaii because we have Shell cards. And we were pleased to find they had Shells on Hawaii. But, from here, I'd have to take a boat. My car would sink. Somebody say there's one way. So where's the desired destination? If it's eternal life, one way. If you don't care, you've seen that there's like the mechanic that has the sign in behind his counter, I can't fix stupid. Right? Amen. But as believers, we need to not only have that lined up for ourselves, but someone else might be following you. Right? Someone else might be following you along, and we want to make sure we're leading them correctly along the right way, because there's, we're going to answer for these things. What we teach the children. For me, again, that's the most basic component of where we're at on the great eternal GPS with God. We have a message called God's Calendar, and it goes through some of these, the spring feasts of Passover, Pentecost, and first fruits, and it points to Jesus, what he's accomplished for us, and then there's fall feasts, Feast of Trumpets, and Day of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles, which symbolize things that he has not done yet. Those are about his return. The spring feasts deal with what he's already done. Hallelujah. Right? And so it's good to know as a believer, where are you in God's great plan for your life? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you in the Word of God? Are you practicing His presence? Are we shaking sin off? Because, you know, as long as we're in these human bodies, there's going to be something trying to get our attention. And it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. It just means if you yield to that, then you're going to be dimmer. You'll become more indistinct. People will be confused when they hear you say one thing and watch you do something else. Right? When people look at my life, it'll be less clear and less plain of who the heck is this. I don't want people to get blurred vision when they see this ministry, when they look at us, when they watch us, right? It should be very clear who we're talking about. Yeah, we're human beings, absolutely. But it's one way, and it's Jesus. And I am shaking sins off from my own life. I'm not allowing stuff to weigh me down. I'm not making excuses or tolerating sin. That's another thing that Brother Holcomb across the river there was talking about, tolerance, and how this word that the devil really has been using, like the rainbow, he uses the word tolerance. And Christians are like, oh, that sounds like a sweet word that we should all just embrace and tolerate everyone and their things. And he said, he talked about in the Bible, the angels that are around the throne of God aren't saying, tolerant, tolerant. No, they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. So I'm not going to tolerate S in my own life. You, between you and Jesus, how you deal with it. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus took that out of the way? And he's the only one that did it. There's nobody else. And I love how Peter said, remember when he was talking to the big group of people about you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and it freaked a lot of them out, and they began to leave. He was talking about the communion elements, you know. And Jesus looks at his disciples, and he says, what about you? Are you leaving too? And Peter said, who else is there? In other words, I don't quite understand everything you say either, but who else is there? Somebody say, no one. Nobody else. I left a voicemail for the Attorney General when he was pushing for this abortion pill, and he compared it to a Tylenol. It's safer than a Tylenol. For who? And I left a voicemail. Sir, thank you for your service. Sir, praying for you, sir. I heard that you compared an unborn child to a headache, sir. And you may want to consider, if you are not willing to speak up for those who have no voice, and this just came, it was like a prophetic word. If you're not willing, sir, to speak up for those who have no voice, then in the end, there'll be no one to speak for you. Have a nice day, sir. I mean, that's serious business, man. But see, the church has got to get this. If the church don't get it, no one else will. Amen, right? Okay, let's get these verses in. Jesus is the only way. If you're looking for another way, then your sin is still in the way. And if your sin is still in the way and you say, am I going to heaven? The answer is no way. Amen. Have to deal with the sin problem. And Jesus is the only one who did that. Nobody else did it. Well, I got to fix myself. I got to fix myself. Spin beads, climb stairs, do enough good deeds. Get some good karma. It's another word, a karma. Got to get some good karma. Karma is just a counterfeit of sowing and reaping. Amen? Once we're born again, we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. We don't forsake sin and do what's right to earn our way to heaven. We forsake sin and do what's right because we're saved. And the Holy Ghost helps us, and the Word of God helps us. And yeah, there's some crucifixion of the flesh. Because not all sin do I find detestable. There's some things that Steve would rather do than not do. And so Steve has to crucify his flesh. Proverbs 14:12, we'll read these final scriptures and close up here. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. What seems right, though? It seems like the right thing to do. Yeah, well, you might want to check the GPS coordinates. Because you'll find the end of that is fire. Right? Eternal death. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says this. Jesus says, enter ye, this is the old King James. I liked how it read better. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Could really say few there be that choose it, because it really is a choice. It's a choice, it's a decision to choose Jesus Christ. And we choose him every single day. Yeah, getting saved is a big event. But I got to get up tomorrow and decide to be saved again. And next week I'll have to get up and decide I'm going to be saved again today. It's like marriage, right? I wake up and I say, I'm a husband today. I'm a dad, I'm a pastor, I'm a business person. But I could just forsake all that and go run off and do some crazy stuff, and it ain't going to happen. But it's a choice. Somebody say it's a choice. It's not a magic thing, like some invisible thing choosing that for you. No, you choose that for you. And God backs your decision and helps you. The Holy Ghost is here to help me to live for God, to help me put away sin, and to help me to do what is right, to help me to love, to help me to pastor, to help me to, be a husband, to help me be a dad, to help me be a good business person, whatever it is. A good citizen of this country, hello? Amen, right? Narrow is the way. Why? Because there's only one. There's only one. And the devil hates hearing about it. Remember some of these verses, if you remember in Acts where Stephen, when they stone Stephen? And he's preaching to them. He's appealing to them. And it said they covered their ears. They rejected it. And murdered another minister, prophet. Right? And Stephen looks up to heaven and sees Jesus there, and the Bible said he fell asleep. Jesus delivered from the sting of death, man. Hallelujah, right? Oh, glory to God. But we have to be people that stand strong in the face of persecution. Persecution can't make us run and hide or just change and be like the rest of the world. We need to have this thing called Holy Ghost backbone. One way. I'll use your Jeep as an example. Lane has this really cool Jeep now. And the rod in the door, which is the way out, wasn't working. And so we have a really good neighbor. Isn't it awesome? God blesses you with good neighbors. This neighbor named Brian. And Brian knows all about welding and cars. And he likes to just get in and help you. He'd have neighbor of the year award every year. And he took the rod out of, as I understand, took the rod and he found, oh, here's the problem, Lane, it's crooked. It got bent. So he took it into his garage and he whatever those things are that hold them, and he straightened the rod out. And then Lane, and reinstalled it, and would you know, the door works. Works great. It hasn't probably worked in years. He just got the Jeep. Right? One way. And God, the Holy Ghost, and other believers are there to help us. Straighten us out. Somebody say, straighten me out, Jesus. Because I'll guarantee you, we all need straightening out. And that's where the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, being in church, listening to preaching during the week, turning less news, less sports, less Hollywood, more Word. Amen. Worship, prayer, intercession, all these things, right? Somebody say, I'm getting brighter, not dimmer. I'm getting sharper, not duller. Okay. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So see, there's two choices, death or life. The wages of sin, which is the reward, the paycheck, the reward for that behavior is death. Or you could get that all canceled and cut off and removed and receive a gift of Jesus. But those are the choices. There's not more than one choice. It's either the wages of sin or the gift of God. Amen. Somebody say, I'll take the gift. I'll take the gift, right? Amen. And we choose it every day, at multiple times a day sometimes. If something's pressing against you, some sorrow or grief or depression or strife or lust or guilt or remorse or just, you know, wanting to be in a bad mood, we got to choose Jesus. Choose him again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And guess what? You can do it. You can do it. I have a friend of mine that's a personal trainer, and he emphasizes body, soul, spirit. Well, that's backward. If we live body, soul, spirit, we're enslaved to the devil, enslaved to our passions. How do I feel today? And that's how I go. No. We should be living spirit, soul, body. That way your spirit, in conjunction and cooperation with the Holy Spirit, can put the body down. Can put the flesh under. And even in those times where we feel like we are struggling and we struggle with, oh man, this thing just gets on. There must be something wrong with me. No. You need to look at where the victory is. I'll guarantee you there's victory there. Focus on Jesus. His spirit is encouraging, not condemning. Somebody just say, keep at it. If there's anything I learned from Jerry Seville's ministry over the years, it's keep at it. Don't quit. Even when things look the darkest, you stay with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Deuteronomy 30:19. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. God is really speaking to the children of Israel, right? Which is, you know, a type of the church and us, right? He says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Does that mean death comes out of God? No, not at all. Death came from Adam. Adam's bad decision in the garden brought death to the world. This world itself is going to die. The world is trying to create solutions to stop it, but there's only one way. Amen? And this world is going to be, the Bible says, renewed and reborn and all of this. But there's only one way. We have to choose life, and Jesus is life. He is the Prince of Life. The devil is death. Jesus is life. This is really difficult to blur or make indistinct or conceal or confuse or make unclear. I mean, the devil's got some of our college kids so confused that they think maybe Hitler wasn't all that bad right now. maybe it's the guy that flew the planes into the towers. Yeah, bin Laden. Maybe bin Laden was, maybe he had reasons. What? Maybe Hamas is just, they're just people that are suppressed, and we should just protest that they can just do whatever they wanted. I mean, this is nuts. Why? Because the light has become obscured. Because the church has stopped being the church. Somebody say, not me. I choose life. Where it's not an unborn baby, it's just a mass. Even after birth now. How many of our Democratic leaders in Congress voted? I mean, they might as well have just written it in blood. All of them. That even after birth, we should be allowed to just allow that baby to lie there and die. That's murder. That's infanticide, right? But when you don't care about the most least, weakest individual, then don't tell me you care about anybody else. All you care about is you and your money and your power and your perversions. And the church has got to lead the way back to the way. Somebody say amen. We'll close it with this. Two more verses. Joshua 24:15. Joshua, another type of Christ, right? And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Now that's how now I can see, I guess, how the world maybe could get to that point. But I want to tell you, there's even people in churches today preaching from pulpits, probably nicer than this one, in buildings that they actually own. And they're telling the people in certain ways that it's evil to serve the Lord. These are ministers saying this to churches. This ought not be so, right? I want to be like Joshua right here. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, and here's another thing. He's talking to God's people. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to people that got brought out of slavery, man, supernaturally. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody say it out loud. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my church, as for me and my nation, we will serve the Lord. And then finally, Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just. Somebody say, that's us. Not because we justified ourselves, but just because I turned to Jesus. Right? The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter. Somebody say, ever brighter. And so don't be surprised if that means some will become ever more offended. But it's not you they're offended at, it's him. Right? The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter, brighter, brighter until the perfect day. Hallelujah. Let's all stand on our feet this morning and we'll pray. Thank God for his words to us today. Somebody say, I'm shining brighter and brighter. I'm shining. It's getting, Jesus is getting clearer and clearer to people, right? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these words today. Your word says where two or more are gathered together, that you are there in their midst. I trust, Lord, that this message is pleasing to you. Hallelujah. And that, God, you're bringing your church back to a place that we are returning to you wholeheartedly. We pray this message, God, over the body of Christ around the world. And let it begin here with us, Lord. We turn our whole hearts, our entire attention toward you. We turn from sins. We turn from sorrows and sicknesses and diseases and hate and perversions and lies, darkness. We turn to the truth, to Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for being the way out, the way up. And Father God, that when people see us and hear us and watch us, that they will be pointed to you. We commit our lives today, Lord. Just make a fresh commitment to Jesus in your heart to say, Lord, I commit myself to being all about you, pointing people to Jesus by my words and my actions and my behavior. I'll walk in fellowship with you, Lord, and walk in the light that you've given me. And we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost and his plans for our lives, his plans for this ministry, his plans for this region, his plans for all of our families, and friends, and businesses, and ministries. And we thank you, Lord, that your plan for us is brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And we choose to stay in that light, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.